Blog Talk Radio.
May your struggles keep you near the cross, and may your troubles show that you need God, and may your bad days prove that God is good, and may your whole life prove that God is good. See, may your struggles keep you near the cross, and may your
Christian podcast.
Thank y'all
network.
So much for coming out.
Hallelujah.
May your bad days prove that God is good. May your whole life prove that God is good. See, may your bad days prove that God is good. Come on. May your whole life, yeah.
You're listening to the Spirit Alive Christian Podcast Network, your global transformation station. Good evening, my brothers and sisters, family and friends. Welcome. I am Apostle Shalene Cook. Welcome once again to Wounded No More with Pastor Vanessa Carver for this Thursday, February the 8th, 2024. Now, my brothers and my sisters, please retrieve your Bibles. Get ready to have something to write with and to write on. And please receive the anointed woman of God. Pastor Vanessa is a pastor, a prophet, a published author. She is also an avid student of the Word of God. So please prepare to receive a blessing on generational curses and blessings from the woman of God, Pastor Vanessa Carver. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Apostle Cook, and welcome everyone to the second episode of Generational Blessings and Curses. I will have to admit that the first time I taught this, which was last time we had in January, I was struggling. As usual, when I do study and prepare for these lessons, it's not because it's for somebody else. It's for all of us. And I do take it seriously that it is for me as well. So I was challenged with presenting some things. This is one of those topics that can be controversial. as it pertains to those in the body of Christ, what we believe, what we teach, and what we live. And but God put it on my heart to teach this, not because I know everything and will get everything right. It's because of the revelation and the things that are revealed as we study and as we present. And that has always been the thing that is the most rewarding about teaching things that challenge me. I can't focus on it because it's just like Apostle Cook, she prays for me before I teach, and she says he's the one that's teaching. And I truly, truly believe that he is paraclete. He is the one that's teaching through me. So whatever is going to be said tonight is because God is allowing it to be said. No matter how awkward it may feel for me to present it, or how sometimes I feel like certain things are just not all the way clear, but I just thank God for letting you know that my heart is really to serve him and bring glory to God to him in this presentation. So I want to pray before I start the class. We're going to review, and then we're going to go to the second episode of Generational Blessings and Curses. Father God, thank you today for you being God and for you being big and for you being all-knowing, ever-present, and always with us. And all knowledge and wisdom comes from you. So I just thank you, Lord, today for the power of your word, the power of your of revelation and understanding, Father God, that those who are listening, Lord, desire to hear that, to hear through me your voice, your leading, your direction, your revelation, Lord, that you will bring to them, to their hearts. Whatever needs to be penetrated, whatever needs to be exposed, whatever, Father God, needs to be clear, I pray, Lord, that your spirit, first of all, be dominant in all of this. And I thank you, Father God, today for those who have an ear to hear, that they hear, that they have peace as they listen, and that knowing that we have the mind of Christ, which means we can have a level of humility to learn something new that we didn't know before. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. So
amen.
I want to go over briefly the anatomy of a curse, which was last week, or the last time I taught. And I talked about operation and active curses in our life, or maybe not even the presence of the curse, but maybe, I mean, the curse active as itself, but the presence of it and what it does. A lot of times things are hidden. There's ignorance. Things are inherited through the bloodline. And sometimes it's an invitation. It's things that we engage in. Levels of disobedience and rebellious can many times keep certain things trafficking in and out of our lives and in our families' lives. I talked about cleansing from all unrighteousness by going to 2 Corinthians 5 and 21 and 1 John 1 and 9. We talked about the iniquity of the mystery of iniquity, but we also talked about the root of unrighteousness. And I just wanted people to know that sometimes some things run in our families because of disobedience. I mean, repeated disobedience and levels of unrepented sin. And sometimes it's as simple as that. But a lot of times because things get covered, because sometimes we realize certain things are looming in our families. Sometimes there's our propensities. But in Christ, which I really want to emphasize tonight, more than anything, is we have the mind of Christ. We are, you know, new creatures in him. And so we have to have a certain mentality and mindset that is going to set a different paradigm when we look at this subject. And I just want that to be first and foremost, is that who are you in Christ as it pertains to your identity in Christ, as it pertains to your level of service, you know, your level of identity, your assignment, your purposes, all that is can be talked about tonight. We also talked about the presence versus the curse. Legal access, we talked about that. We talked about the root, and I'm always about getting to the root of a thing, which is one of the reasons why I said, you know, we have the ability, you know, when we have the Holy Spirit, we have power. So we need to be able to learn to uproot things in our lives, in our, especially when it's hindering our growth and in every area of our life, in relationships, in ministry, whatever the case may be. We can feel like there's a glass ceiling or there's somewhere where I'm stunted or undeveloped or not maturing or something's in the way. Now, sometimes it's just we just have to mature, but sometimes there are really some things there that need to be exposed and uprooted. We can't have one without the other. So when you have a generational blessings, we talk about generational curses and vice versa. There are cycles that are hidden and patterns that are hidden. It's a deeper thing. And we talked about different levels of sin. We talked about iniquity. We talked about, I'll break it down again because we talked about the difference with transgressions, iniquity. I had broke it all down into four or five different areas of basically being separate from, you know, the will of God. And I wanted people to understand that some things are judgment. Judgment is all that is sometimes a repercussion for committing a sin. And then sometimes there are things when there's transgressions, when it travels from family to family and in the bloodline, when it's a little bit deeper. And there are so many different examples of it. We talked about blessings in the bloodline and curses in the bloodline, degrees of sin, like I mentioned, and we talked about premeditated, unconfessed, unrepentant sin, and from there. And I felt like I was doing a lot of fumbling because I didn't want to get into too much of, interpretation. I feel like the word interprets itself, and some things we just have to study till so we can gain understanding. And tonight, though, I want to talk about generational blessings and curses more intentionally and reiterate about a generational curse is the predisposition and inclination toward a particular sin passed down within bloodlines and sometimes which is upon birth. We talked about the legal component of it being there, but I want to start, we're going to read a lot of scriptures tonight, just because that's where, you know, the Lord was leading me to take my foundation. I want to start in, we're going to start in how things are passed down, how sometimes it's things that we say, especially in families, and you'll hear me talk about that a little bit, a lot tonight, because that's where it started, with God dealing with me. When I started praying, interceding over my family, he started dealing with me, and this was about 2 or 3 years ago. He started dealing with me in the scripture about things passed down through families and just by mere words, okay? So we're going to start in Genesis 9, verses 22 to 25. I'll give you a little bit of background. This is about Ham, and this is the son of Noah, and this is about Canaan. And some people, please don't, I'm not going to misinterpret this at all. I'm going to read it, what the word says, and then use it to unravel a principle here. It's in Genesis 9, 22 through 25. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brothers outside. Then Shem and Japheth, they took a garment, laid it on both of their shoulders, and walked backward, covered the nakedness of their father. Their faces were turned backward, and they did not see their father's nakedness. When Noah awoke from his wine and knew what his youngest son had done to him, he said, "Cursed be Canaan." So he cursed his son. He cursed his grandson because of what his son did. "A servant of servants shall he be to his brothers." Now, without going into any other or what other people have said about this scripture and as it pertains to African Americans, which I'm not going to even start there because I don't agree with that, this is an example of grandparents and what they do when they have issues with their children. And these are just, this is a curse that Canaan basically was given by his grandfather because of what his father did. And we know the story of Canaan and what those people became. It became adversaries to the children of Israel later on, and they were always fighting. And so I realized that that curse that he put on his grandson was because of something his father did. So I want to read this also, that same passage in the Amplified, just a little bit. "When Noah awoke from his wine-induced stupor, he knew that what his younger son Ham had done to him. He said, 'Cursed be Canaan, the son of Ham, a servant of servants. He shall be to his brothers.'" So he said, you're going to be, you know, below your brothers, a subordinate to your brothers. And his brothers were Shem and Japheth. And if we look in deeper into the history, this is just to give you something to study later, look into the history of how they interacted, all three of them. And you may have to look into other, like maybe the book of, what's the word, the Apocrypha, to look into really how they interacted, to study what happened after the curse of Canaan, what happened, and follow that story, and that'll give you an understanding of how these things happen, and they are very intentional, and they have a lasting effect. Now, then the next story I want to go over is having to do with Jacob, Laban, and Rachel, okay? So this has to do with Jacob, and Rachel was his wife, and Laban was his father-in-law, and Jacob's, and Rachel's father. And this is in Genesis 31, 17 through 21, and then verses 34. Okay. So Jacob arose and set his sons and his wives on camels. So here you have Jacob leaving in the middle of the night, trying to get away from Laban, okay, because of some of the things that Laban was doing. He drove away all his livestock, all his property he had gained, the livestock in his possession that he had acquired in Padan Aram, to go to the land of Canaan to his father Isaac. Laban had gone to bear his sheep, and Rachel, she stole her father's household gods. And Jacob tricked Laban, the Aramean, by not telling him that he intended to flee. He fled with all he had and arose and crossed the Euphrates and set his face toward the hill country of Gilead. Okay? And then it goes on further to say in Jacob arose, let's see, he drove away. Well, later on in verses 30 and 34, hold on, let me go back to it because I think I wrote some things down. 30 and 34, I'm just going to read it to you, because what happens is Laban realizes that those idols were missing when Jacob left, okay? And when he found out that they were stolen, he accused Jacob of stealing them. Let's go and read them. And because he stole them from, he cursed Jacob, basically, not knowing that his own daughter had taken those idols and had hid them in her tent. Well, as you know later on, that in childbirth, we talk about Rachel dying in childbirth. And many believe or have interpreted that scripture as saying that the curse that he put on Jacob affected his wife because she died in childbirth. And I think that that is really profound. I've never heard it taught that way, but I start to think about Laban. He didn't realize his daughter had stolen those idols and had taken it. And he, in his anger, it's just, it always also reminds me of what I just read when Noah was uncovered. He didn't think about cursing Ham. He cursed Canaan. And so Laban, realizing that those idols were missing, didn't curse Jacob. Well, he cursed Jacob, but it affected Rachel. And so that's just another example of things that happen in families and things that are said and done. Now we want to also talk about, this is a famous one that everybody knows, Jabez's prayer. The thing that I like about this one is there's a twist to it and it changes, okay? So here we have Jabez's prayer. It's in 1 Chronicles chapter 4. And verse 9 through 10. Now, Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bore him in pain. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, right? Everybody's familiar, that your hand would be with me and that you would keep me from evil and that I may not cause pain. God granted him what he requested. That's the part I want you to focus on. That even though his mother had basically cursed him in childbirth, he went to a place and asked God to change his name, to change the meaning of his name. He said he would bless him and that he would enlarge his territory. God granted him that he requested. Let's backtrack a little bit to the story of Rachel. I do want to also say this. So Rachel died in childbirth. And she had a son named Benjamin. As we know, he was the last one. But do you know, right before she died, she called him Benoni, which means the son of my sorrow. But her father, his father changed his name to son of my right hand instead of son of my sorrow. And so that let me know that, okay, right there was redemption. And in this story of Jabez, there was redemption. So no matter what your parents did or didn't do, whether they did out of ignorance, it shows that God granted him what he requested. And I want you to stop and think right now with these examples that I've given with Noah and Ham and Canaan and with Jacob and Laban and Rachel and with the story of Jabez, how God granted him what he requested and how the father of Benjamin, knowing that he lost the love of his life while she was giving birth to the last child, he changed his name to Benjamin instead of Benoni, which meant son of my sorrow and son of my right hand. And that's a place of authority. And so I do believe that when we are servants of God through Christ and we are in a place where we see these active curses or these active maybe dysfunction, we have to say, not on my watch, and we have to command the guidance of God in our life. What do I say? What do I do to change the repercussions of something that may be active in my life or in my family's life? It may not be active in your life, but it may be active in the lives of those around you. You got to really take some time. Like I said, when I presented the first class, I was talking about being an investigator. And if this is called to, if something is called to you, sometimes God will give you a dream. You need to search that thing out. Search it out. And search it out until you get answers and get understanding. Listen to the Holy Spirit. And so
Amen.
I wanted to bring these two scriptures up because I feel like they were really key in us understanding some principles here. So I also want to read in Proverbs 3 and 33. Okay, let's see here. Proverbs 3 and 33 basically says, now some of these things won't come up because I have put so many scriptures on my screen that some of them just would not come up. So hold on just a minute, please. Bear with me. Let's see here. Okay. All right. So it says in Psalms 3 and 33, Proverbs, I'm sorry, the curse of the Lord is on the house of the wicked, but he blesses the home of the just and righteous. Remember how last time we taught, I talked about him cleansing us from all unrighteousness. And so when we are in Christ and we take on the, and we're born again, he does cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He blesses us, and we are blessed, and our homes are blessed. Let's be really intentional about understanding what favor is, what blessings are, staying thankful, having a pure heart and clean hands, being, you know, totally submitted to the life that God has called us to, because our house is blessed. And so that we don't walk in a curse. We've been delivered from the curse, you know, and the curse is sin, really. It's just with the repercussions of sin, all types of sin, you name it, rebellion, pride, unforgiveness, I mean, you name it. There's all kinds of things that we've been delivered from, and there's a purposeful declaration that we need to have internally and externally so that can remind us of who we are and who we walk with and what our purpose is all about. In Proverbs 37 and 22, it says, for those blessed by the Lord shall inherit the land, but those cursed by him shall be cut off. Are you blessed or not? You're blessed.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're in Christ, you're blessed. For those who walk by God. So these are the things that we need to say. Okay, then why am I not seeing them? Maybe you don't believe. Maybe there's some complacency there. Maybe you're focusing on the wrong thing. So for those who are blessed by him shall inherit the earth. One of the things that annoys me, it started annoying me when I started growing in Christ, is when people say, I'm praying for the favor of God. The favor of God is on you. Why do you have to keep saying, Lord, give me favor? And the reason why it was bothering me, because I realized that some people just maybe don't understand that when you're blessed, there's certain things that come along with that package. And either you believe it or you don't. And if there's some, you have to excuse my grandson in the background. If there's some places in your belief system where there's some breaches or some breaks or some you don't understand, okay, maybe that's why you don't understand that you attract favor because of who you are, because you're blessed. Now, that does not mean that you won't be challenged. That does not mean that you won't have certain things in your life that, you know, that you suffer through, but I truly believe the favor of God is on us. And when we open up our eyes and understand what that attracts, then we won't be asking for favor all the time. Well, that makes me think of those who are blessed by him shall inherit the earth. There's certain things that we should be expecting, and our expectation a lot of times is low. It's low expectations to none. Because we don't really believe we're favored, or we don't really believe we're blessed, or we're too busy looking at the wrong thing and focusing on the wrong thing. In Zechariah 7, the reason why I like this, I mean, Zechariah 5, verses 1 through 4, this is about, it's giving you a strong imagery or a vision of the flying scroll, and this is what God gave Zechariah, and it made me think of words and the things that we say. Again, and this is Zechariah talking about the vision he had. I lifted up my eyes and saw, and behold, a flying scroll. And he said to me, so I'm going to read from the, let me see. I'm going to read from the Amplified version. Again, I looked up and I saw a scroll flying in the air, and the angel said to me, what do you see? And I answered, I see a flying scroll. Its length is 20 cubits and 30 feet. And its width is 15 feet. Then he said to me, this is the curse that is going out over the face of the whole land. For everyone who steals will be cut off according to the writing on one side, and everyone who swears falsely shall be cut off according to the writing on the other side. I will send the curse out, declares the Lord of hosts, and it will enter the house of the thief and the house of the one who swears falsely by my name, and it will spend the night in that house and consume it, both its timber and its stones. Now, the reason why I wanted to mention this is because this is pretty powerful. This is a curse that God was putting on the enemy, I believe it's the enemies of Israel at the time. And he said the flying scroll represents a curse. And this is the curse that's going out over the face of the whole land, and certain people were going to be affected by it. I think this is a powerful, it helps you understand some things about a spiritual realm, but it also helps you understand, if you will, the curse being personified. And this is a curse that God sent, so we're not really talking about that as it pertains to our lives. But when I think about that time period and then how it's a spiritual thing that is really real, and that people are really dealing with. So if you look at this, the flying scroll, the vision of the flying scroll, and go in and study the context of it all, I think you'll be blessed to understand that these principles here about the power of a curse declares the Lord of hosts, and this is, it will enter the house of the thief. And I was just thinking that this is a great scripture to read when you start thinking about the power of a curse and the things that happen, and this is one that God put. In Malachi 2, verses 1 through 2, the Lord rebukes the priests. Now, these are things that these corrupt priests had to deal with because of their disobedience, right? So just like the one that I read before then, there's repercussions for the things that they did. There was judgments that they dealt with, the judgments and the measures. So that curse of the scroll, of the vision of the scroll was basically a judgment. Of the holy place in the tabernacle in the wilderness. In Malachi chapter 2, verse 1 through 2, and now, O priest, now he's dealing with the priest. Malachi is talking to the priest. O priest, this commandment is for you. If you will not hear and if you will not take it to heart to give glory to my name, this is says the Lord of hosts, I will send a curse upon you. I will curse your blessings. Yes, I have cursed them already because you do not take it to heart. So here we have an example of God speaking to those who are supposed to represent him, and they are just not taking him seriously. So that, you know, they do these things, but their heart is far from him. He's giving himself. He said, so this is what's going to happen to you. You know, you don't take it seriously in serving me. So I wanted to use that because, you know, back in the Old Testament, many times, especially in the books of the prophets, there's judgments And there's disciplinary measures that God takes by allowing a curse to be present in their lives. Second Timothy, baby, now we're going to start talking about generational blessings, okay? The first scripture I thought about was in the New Testament, 2 Timothy 1:4-5. And this is Paul talking and writing a letter to Timothy, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother, Lois, and your mother, Lord. Eunice.
Yeah.
And I am persuaded is in you also. So our prayers, my grandmother's prayers for me or my great-grandmother, I don't know who was praying for me. But I truly believe that if there's people in the – when there's a lot of mess in a family, a lot of corruption, and people that are not really serving God, I believe there's always a remnant in that family. I truly, truly believe it. And I know that God will honor the prayers of those of the righteous in families. So when I think of Timothy and the things that he was called to, it was because of his grandmother and his mother. And I could have skipped his mother and went to him, or I could have skipped his grandmother and went to her. You know what I mean? But nevertheless, Paul was able to say, this faith that's in you, it dwelt in your grandmother first. It was in her first. And so let's take some time to think about, not just because of who we are in Christ, but those who are praying, interceding for us, or who have already done that. They may not be here anymore, and God is honoring their prayers. I thank God for that, because I pray for my children and my grandbabies all the time, all the time. Not just, you know, if they have a situation, but who they will be, who they will become, you know. Even when I don't have to hear anything, I say, Lord, bless and keep. I just pray about their development. And I know that my children's grandmothers, and pray for them as well. Grandparents, pray for them. I know they do. So God will honor that. You know, when there's a house, just like when I read about in Proverbs 3:33, where it says the Lord curses on the house of the wicked, but he blesses the dwelling of the righteous. So there's an inheritance for those who are righteous. I didn't say perfect. I said righteous.
Mm-hmm.
Those who are trying to do what God has led them to do, and growing themselves. But they do pray and intercede over their children and their children's children. And God is going to honor that. This is one of the ways that we see generational blessings, not just generational curses. And in 2 Kings, which I'm going to bring that up too, verses 14:5-6, there is a chart actually that I want to go. I wish you guys could see this awesome chart. When I start to think of generational blessings and curses in families, I thought of the kings of Judah and the kings of Israel. And I began to think of all of them. And this chart is awesome because it shows the kings and their relationships to the previous king and God's judgment and the things they did. Some were evil, and when the father was evil, the son was evil. And then the grandson is the one that did right. And then the grandson after them. So for instance, when it came to the King Rehoboam, his son, he did evil. And his son Abijah, he did evil. But Rehoboam's grandson, Asa, did right. And Jehoshaphat did right. And the son of Jehoshaphat did right, did evil. And then his sons did evil. And after that, they did evil. And the mother did evil. So it's interesting to see the decisions that even in the Old Testament that were made. And they had the principles, they had the laws, they knew what to do and not to do. But do you see how the son, sometimes he did exactly what the father did, and then the grandson did right. And then when you talk about the kings of Israel, Jeroboam, who was a servant, he did evil. Nadab did evil, evil all the way down to Ahaziah did evil. All of them did evil. They all had different titles. Some were captains, some were, you know, over the military. And then we have all the way down to Jehu. So he did evil, and then he did good as well. So he did both. But when it came to the kings of Israel, there was a lot of evil all the way down. When it came to the kings of Judah, there was like both. Some did right, some did wrong. But it was interesting to look at the pattern, because it wasn't always based upon what the father did that the grandson did, and vice versa. Okay, sometimes there was years and hundreds of years of evil with the king.
Yes.
So I also wanted to use that as an example to help you understand the judgment of God and what it looks like back then and even in our lives. Because of redemption, because of what Christ did, there are certain things that we're not subject to. We have to understand that we need to start focusing on the inheritance, who we are in Christ, and our level of obedience and submission and commitment to the Word of God and to discipleship and to his belief system and his values is really what's important. How God honors our faith, you know, and it's not just what we do, it's what's in our heart. It's what builds our belief system. I want to read this. There's a passage in 2 Kings I want to go over, because there, from Ezekiel 18:2, you know, that scripture that talks about the soul who sins shall die. The son shall not suffer for the iniquity of the father, nor the father suffer for the iniquity of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon himself, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon himself. Now, this scripture talks about iniquity. When you look in different versions of the word, like the Amplified, the NIV, the New King James Version, the New King James Version and the NIV, they don't say sin. They said the guilt of the father. They don't bear the guilt of the son. And the righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him. So they're talking about guilt. And some of them even say the punishment for the sin of the father doesn't fall on the son, not just iniquity. And I thought that that was interesting. And it made me go to 2 Kings 14:5-6. And we're going to talk about Moses and his law right there. So I want to go there real quick as well. Just a minute. I have to write this in too. So it is 2 Kings verses, chapter 14, verses 5-6. Okay. Okay. So it in 2 Kings 14:5-6, now it happened as soon as the kingdom was established in his hand that he executed his servants who had murdered his father, the king. But the children of the murderers he did not execute, right, according to what is written in the book of the law of Moses, which in the Lord commanded, saying, fathers shall not be put to death for their children, nor shall their children be put to death for their fathers, but a person shall be put to death for his own sin.
His own sin.
And so let me give you a little context to that, because I thought I had wrote that down, but I didn't. I want to give you some context to that. But also these scriptures, don't read them. I don't like just reading verses. Read the whole thing. You'll get more out of it, get more of an understanding for your own, you know, when you want to, in your own study time. And that's, because I usually read, I don't want to be reading to you the whole, sometimes I might have to read to you the whole lesson, because I'm thinking, you know, it's important to understand where this, I believe, piecing stuff together. Verses 14, 5-6 is talking about the prophecy against Jeroboam. And so and it talks about when Ahijah heard the sound of, let me see, 14, 2 Kings, hold on, I'm sorry, 2 Kings 14, it was in 13. So this is about Amaziah, he reigned. And then it talks about, let's see, 5, as soon as the royal power was firmly in his hand. 2 Kings 14:5-6. That removed. Something doesn't look right. Hold on just a minute. Let's see. As soon as he did not put to death the children. Okay, yeah. It's about Once again, here we have, remember I just talked to you about that chart and how here we have the kings of Judah and the repercussions for things that happened. It says, but the high places were not removed. The people still sacrificed and made offerings on the high places. And as soon as the royal pot was firmly in his hand, he struck down his servants who had struck down the king, his father. But he did not put to death the children of the murderers, according to what is written in the book of the law of Moses, where the Lord commanded. Fathers, don't put your put to death because of their children, nor shall the children be put to death because of their fathers, but each one shall die for his own sin. Okay? So I just want you to understand that there were certain things that had to be set in order because of sin. Sin's going to be with us, you know. But those in Christ, we have to be able to engage in the word and get a new perspective, get a new understanding of who you are first, and see if the word curse or dysfunction, I like to say dysfunction because I don't really like to use the word curse, but it is used a lot in the Bible, so I'm going to stick to that. But when I think about us in the body of Christ, I think about dysfunction or maybe arrested development, things that get in the way, or impediments, things that get in the way from us being all that we're supposed to be, whether we're supposed to be maturing in some kind of way. These things, and I don't want to make it light by calling them impediments or by calling them dysfunction. Some of them are seriously strongholds, for real. When we talk about addiction, for instance, or when we talk about divorce, or when we talk about different things that we see in the body of Christ, I'm not talking about people outside the body of Christ, functioning, fully manifesting in our lives, not, oh, that happened to grandma. No, this is stuff real time, real life, and these things are getting passed down. Even when it comes to these false alliances and things that we engage in that keep access to demonic energy, demonic access in our lives, secret societies, things that, you know, you joined a sorority, so I'm going to join a sorority. You joined a fraternity, so I'm going to join a fraternity. Mom and Daddy were Masons and Eastern Stars, and so I'm going to do the same. Stuff like that. And then we don't understand about premature murder. Premature death and things like that. What is active in your family? What has not been renounced? What has not been repented of? Like I said, unrepented sin, consistent disobedience, things like that. I'm talking about those in the body of Christ. I'm not talking about people that are not in the body of Christ. So I do want to close with that and get off my soapbox. And just help you. I want to present this with a heart, because it's like a call, it's like a clarion call. It's like a pouring out. So we got to get it together. And I believe we are empowered to do so. We have everything that we need. And the word, first and foremost, because it is active and alive, is going to be where we start and where we should end. Okay, at the end of the day. And get a full understanding and get empowered and feel equipped and make up in your mind that when you read the word of God, you believe it, and that God will give you clarity and understanding. And then he'll even show you and help you interface with the word so you'll know how to apply it in your life every day in 2024. Even though this was Old Testament, a lot of the scriptures I read were Old Testament. Doesn't matter. All the word is for. Sister, what is it? All the word is for edification,
exhortation,
and comfort. And for teaching. There you go. Yeah, it is. So all the word is for correction and instruction.
Reproof.
And he said doctrine of reproof and doctrine. So I'm trying to remember stuff.
Reproof, correction, and instruction and righteousness.
There, I hear you. And instruction and righteousness. There you go. So that's why I take it seriously. That's why I said, Lord, if I'm going to be presenting these lessons, we got to make sure that the word surrounds us, that everything that we're teaching will be there. And we prayerfully ask you for understanding, and we prayerfully ask you for it to be fruitful in our lives. I thank you, Lord, today for the peace that surpasses all understanding to guard our hearts and mind at this time, knowing that you are the author and the finisher of our faith, and faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So I just thank you, Lord, today for allowing me to teach this, and I thank you for the days to come to continue to expound upon this this subject so that your people will be blessed and served. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen and amen. Another excellent impartation of the Word of God.
Amen.
By Pastor Vanessa.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now, if you are sitting in the studio, I already heard Bishop. I know he's in the background. Mother Mitchell's in the house. But if you are sitting in the house and you have a question or a comment that you would like to make, if you would kindly push your one on your keypad, I will address you by your area code and the last four digits of your phone number. Hallelujah. So, but while I wait to see if anybody responds, Mother Mitchell, would you like to have a word or comment from Pastor Vanessa?
Yes, I have a question. I often wonder, and I want maybe confirmation or maybe not, I don't know, but I'm going to ask, why, you know, between the good kings and the bad kings, and sometimes I heard you said there was a lot of time that passed. You know, it's no different with us. Sometimes you'll have a family, and a man and a woman over here will start a family, and they'll be going along so good, and then something will cause that family to just break, to become broken.
Choices.
Okay, that's what you're saying. Your answer is, yeah, is the choices. And I'm agreeing with that because, you know, it's almost like they just decide, I don't want to be good anymore. And they can decide, I don't want to be cursed anymore. I want to do better. And they will make a turnaround and come to Christ. And, you know, as a little girl, I used to look at families that was caught up in that. And I always was so thankful when I saw them make the change from being so evil to being so much better. And I just wondered sometimes why they couldn't have just started there and saved themselves a lot of grief. But anyway, we all make our mistakes.
Choices.
I just wanted to say that that was always a puzzle to me when I was smaller. And it comes around exactly to where it's supposed to be. Because if you have evil in you, evil is going to come out of you.
Amen.
And if you want to change that, you can change that anytime you want to with God's help. So I just...
Thank you, Mother Mitchell.
Since I'm grown, I don't wonder about it anymore.
Amen.
I know
Hallelujah,
what it is.
Jesus.
Sin is a ferocious beast, and it can consume you if you don't stop it in its tracks.
Amen.
You need God's
help
to do that. Thank you, Bishop. Thank you, Pastor Vanessa.
Pastor.
Excellent teaching. I am so glad on tonight to hear your teaching.
Thank you, ma'am.
Yes, indeed.
Thank you, Mother.
Amen.
I believe, Mother Mitchell, that it's just when you see that, you know, and God brings them around, you're right. It is choices. It really is when people do that and you can't. I had a time when I was doing the foolish. I knew better. But God used all that for his good. He always used that for his good. And I thank him for being just like that song we play every session. May your struggle remind you that God is good. And he is.
Yes.
No matter what you go through. And so this lesson is letting us know, just like Apostle Cook, your choices that you make, and God knows, okay, I'm going to let you do that. And you're going to learn from it.
Mm-hmm.
And judgment comes. And then you end up right where you should be.
Right. Right.
Exactly.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. We have time. Would Bishop Carver like to have a word this evening?
You know, I guess I would contribute my two cents. My
two
cents on the matter.
Now, I know you're back there chomping up the bit. Come on in here, bro.
Because I was taking a nap, but Pastor Vanessa.
You were listening.
started quoting.
And you woke up. You heard it.
But, you know, it's we were talking about this earlier, and it was it became clear that generational curses are just what families do together. So, for instance, if you are all, you know, as a family, we all eat the same thing because we're in the same space and somebody's cooking for all of us, right? And you'll have families that have certain types of diseases because they're all eating the same thing, you know? Same thing with certain types of sin. In my family, if there are things that are going to plague us, it will be alcoholism, gambling, and promiscuity. It'll have something to do with all that stuff, right? And the thing is, we're not subject to sin. We're not under that law. But when you go outside of that protective covering, when you're saved and then you say, I'm not going to repent, what you're doing is you're walking right into what you know is there waiting for you. It's not something unfamiliar to you that just showed
that's
up
good,
because
that's good.
It's something that was there before you were saved. And now because you're walking back into it, you know what you're going to. It's not new to you. You know exactly what you have to look forward to. And so you'll have to repent again and turn in the direction you should have continued in the first place, right? But when you know and understand that, then you really have a choice because God says he set before us life and death, and then he tells us choose life. The thing that stands out to me is if you go all the way back to Adam and Eve, the tree of life was in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil was in the midst of the garden. And apparently, they had not partaken of the tree of life because God cast them out of the garden after they partook of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and said, hey, if they partake of the tree of life, they'll live forever in this condition, right? And it was fascinating to me because God didn't say they couldn't partake of the tree of life. They just didn't, right? So God is the one who set before us life and death, tells us to choose life, but because love gives us the choice. We can choose death if we want. You know, that's our love requires. The love of God requires him to leave the decision to us. But God says for those of us who are saved, we can become a vessel of honor or we can become a vessel of dishonor. You can be an example of what to do. You can be an example of what not to do. And so Vanessa and I were talking about how we overcome by the blood of the Lamb, which covers our sin, right? But also by the power of the word of our testimony, you know? And so you have to openly declare your victory and how God has kept you and even how God has sustained you even when you fell back, you know? Even when you stumbled, you know? And then see, because God has a plan. His plan is perfect. The power in you is greater than the power in the world. The work that God started in you, he will finish. God doesn't leave stuff half done, right? So now we have to come to the point where we actively participate and believe in our own salvation, and we don't look back like Lot's wife and turn into a pillar of salt. We don't look back. We continue to look forward to God's new grace and new mercy for today in spite of what happened yesterday, and not giving any thought to what's happening tomorrow, but learning to focus on today's 24 hours of God's grace and mercy.
Oh, hallelujah.
So that's my 2 cents. That's my 2 cents.
That was a good 2 cents. That was a really, really, really good 2 cents. Yes, it was. Hallelujah. Pastor Vanessa, that was, and you're right. It's about, you know, both of these wonderful servants of God have given us some perspective about generational blessings. Well, they've given us the truth about generational blessings and curses. And, you know, as you were speaking, Pastor Vanessa, I couldn't help, you know, my mind always goes to servant leaders.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that a lot of the reasons, one of the biggest reasons that we see so many false prophets in this day and time is exactly because of what you were speaking of. People
were holding their positions, but their and they were doing what was supposed to be what was right, but their hearts were far from God. I'm speaking mm-hmm. to that young person or that man or that woman that feel that they are being quote unquote groomed for servant leadership. Let me explain something to you. Being called, and you can only be called and sent by God.
Mm-hmm.
You should not be stepping in behind a pulpit because you were, quote, unquote, groomed by man. If God, you did not hear the voice of God himself, I don't care if your daddy was a pastor, your daddy's daddy was a pastor, and his daddy was a pastor. If God did not call you,
amen,
you, don't you step into that pulpit because you are perpetuating that same curse, that same problem, that same issue.
Mm-hmm.
When we do not serve if our heart is not there. So I want servant parents who are servant leaders, grandparents who are servant leaders, please, please do not. I know your heart is in the right place. You want your those coming behind you to be godly, but you still have to be obedient to God.
Right.
You have to be obedient to God, you know, and because we don't want to perpetuate something that, one, maybe God has not called us to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Two, we don't want those coming behind us to feel that it's, you know, that we have to sit and suffer because somebody else sees something in us. We need to know that we, as Bishop said, we have a choice. We can choose to be vessels of honor or vessels of dishonor. And when you are not true to who God called you to be, I don't care what you are doing, you are not a vessel of honor for the Lord, because while you're doing something you're not supposed to be doing, you're not doing what he told you to do.
That's right.
So we must, one of the first things we need to understand is how obedient are we going to be to the word of God and to God's call on our lives, not because of what somebody else said, but because of what God said. And then I want people to understand when you do see that your family is plagued with cancer, or your family is plagued with diabetes, or you know, alcoholism runs in your family, whatever the case may be. Hallelujah. Like Bishop said, okay, you was in there, you've been in this family all your life. This is nothing new to you. Now you can choose to go to what's comfortable and do what they did, or you can choose the high road and be that vessel of honor. But while you're being that vessel of honor, please continue to let God be God. You see, when we see things going on in our family, we tend to want to, we think we want to, don't do that. You shouldn't do that. That's wrong. You know what? No. You keep pointing that family member to God. You see, you don't have the power to fix anybody, but God does. So you just tell those family members that call you this and say you that, and you a goody two-shoe, and they don't know, you know, you act like you don't remember when you used to, but you see that, and you can use all that for God's glory. Because you can say, yeah, you're right. But I am now, I decided to believe Christ Jesus and know that I am saved by grace. I no longer have to live under the curse. I can walk in the fullness of the blessings of God. So you can use all of that to God's glory, and you don't have to beat anybody up about it. You don't have to tell people what they shouldn't be doing or they need to be doing. And if you can't do it in love, because through it all, we must keep love and humility at the forefront. Love, humility, and obedience. That will help you to overcome a whole bunch of generational curses. A whole lot of curses, period. So, Pastor Vanessa, I just want to thank you, and I can't wait. I like the way you broke down the anatomy of a curse and how, like we were saying, what we saw as you walked through the Word, it was about choices. And sometimes people think they're making choices that don't nobody else in the family know about, or they wouldn't, it would be new to them. But check this out. If you're thinking about it, do your go look at your family pathology. If you dig deep enough, you'll find it.
Yep.
You'll find it.
True.
Yeah. You will find it. So thank you. This just blesses my soul, because it's like I do in my family. There is a lot of cancer. There is a lot of diabetes. There is, you know, but what that tells me is, look, I don't need to be trying to smoke 12 packs of cigarettes and eat up 5 pounds of candy every day. Because through my family, God has given me warning before destruction. Hallelujah.
That's right.
Yeah.
So, you know, yeah. I just want to thank you, Pastor Vanessa. Thank you so much. This is really just a phenomenal series, and I'm just enjoying it so much.
Oh, yeah.
And,
yeah.
It's just good for people to know, you know what I'm saying, and they can wake up and know how to be in bondage because their mama did it, or their daddy did it, or their sister did it, or their brother did it. You are free. You are free in Christ Jesus, and you are free to choose. And we are praying that today you will choose Jesus. Maybe your family, it doesn't talk about the Lord, doesn't really profess to have any connection to Jesus. But that doesn't mean you can't. Hallelujah. You can still choose Christ Jesus as your Lord and Savior today. And the breaking of those generational chains can start with you.
Yes.
All you have to do is decide, do I want to follow the Lord Christ Jesus? Am I going to ask the Holy Spirit to teach me how to die to self and pick up my cross and follow him? Or am I going to just keep on walking on this path of destruction and curses? Amen. So right now, if you do not know Jesus in the pardon of your sin, on behalf of Pastor Vanessa, Bishop Lester, Mother Mitchell, and myself, we all just want to give you an opportunity, hallelujah, to rectify that situation right now. And say, and my friend, you don't have to, you know, wait till your church doors open and you go in and they do the invitation. You don't have to try to go and, you know, the enemy will try to tell you to say, well, I'll wait till I quit smoking, or I'll wait till I quit drinking. No, the Lord Jesus wants you to come right now, just as you are, and let him wash you whiter than snow. Let him, hallelujah, begin a new work in you. Let him begin to make you into a new creation. And all you have to do, my brother and my sister, is ask. All you have to do is go to the Lord with a sincere heart and acknowledge that he is God. As Pastor Vanessa said in a Bible study here recently, you have to acknowledge that he is God, and you acknowledge the fact that he loved you so much that he sent his only begotten son, Christ Jesus, to die for your sins. And he bled, died, and rose so that you might have an opportunity to be in relationship with him. Confess that sin, every last one of them, and then ask him to come into your life and help you to become the person that he wants you to become in him. We may start out cursed, but we don't have to end up cursed.
Amen.
Not at all. Not at all. Some of us, as church families, we squabble just like biological families. We need to stop that. We're dying due to the lack of love. We're dying due to the lack of unity. We're dying due to the desire to have control and power over something that only belongs to God. So we need to get it together. We really need to get it together, and we need to begin to pray for one another and praise God for one another so that we and live out God's truth before our brothers and our sisters, our family and our friends, our coworkers, so that they too might have a desire to make a different choice. Amen and amen. Pastor Vanessa,
amen.
I'm going to bring you back in for your final comments, my dear. And if there be nothing else, we will go ahead and close your program. But I just wanted, you might have thought of something or would like to share a few more nuggets now that you've heard some of the comments. So please, Pastor, come on back in with any final words or comments.
My final words would be that we're doing this together. And the thing that my platform with Wounded No More, I realized as we search the scriptures together and God reveals things to our hearts, and there's things that we do share on the show, just understand that when we pray for each other and intercede for ourselves as well, that we are learning and growing up together. And so when we talk about certain subjects, specifically this one, I pray, God, for growth. And I pray, God, for focus growth for many of us. And I pray for healing and deliverance. I don't ever want people to think that this show is not about that, because, of course, it's Wounded No More. But we still go from glory to glory, and we are healing and growing up and doing it together. Thank you.
Amen.
Thank
you, man.
Hallelujah. Father God, we just want to come and thank you and praise you right now for the wonderful truth that we have heard. We thank you, Lord, for the message and the messenger. Lord, refuel her, Lord God. Continue to pour into her so that she might continue to pour into us in the impactful, insightful way that she does. I thank you for her covering, Bishop Lester. I thank you, Lord God, that we have this time to come together in humility, unity, and love to disciple your people all over the world. Lord, I just pray in the name of Jesus, that, and I thank you for those who gave their lives to you, those who will get that revelation, that will gain the courage to pull down that stronghold, that will step out and do what is right in your sight, regardless of what has been going on in their family, maybe sometimes for many, many, many years. But, Lord, we pray for breakthrough. We pray for new freedom. We pray for abundance of peace, abundance of joy, hallelujah, and abundance of blessings for in every household all over the world.
Yeah.
It is in Jesus' holy and righteous name I do pray. Amen and amen. My brothers and sisters, you have been listening to Wounded No More with God's anointed pastor, Vanessa Carver. We pray that you will continue, hallelujah, your study, and to continue to go deeper, hallelujah, in God's word. I often say here at Spirit Alive, and they hear me say it often, we don't water ski over God's word. We scuba dive. We go deep. We want to know more and more and more about the Lord. And the more we know about him, the more we want to know about him. So we pray that is our prayer for you as well, that you will come to want to know more and more about him so that you too can be moved from glory to glory to glory. This has been this is Apostle Cook. I pray that you continue to have a beautiful and blessed week, that you acknowledge Christ in all that you do, our household to yours. It is our fervent prayer that you be ye transformed. Good night, and God bless you from Pastor Vanessa Carver and all of us here at Wounded No More on the Spirit Alive Network. Good night, everyone. Blessings to you and yours.
Good night.
I love you, Pastor Vanessa.
Good night. I love you, Pastor and Bishop.
Mother Mitchell.
God bless you guys.
Thank you for so much good information in my life at this late date. I appreciate it so much.
Good night.
You're welcome. Good night. Have a good night. Love you. Bye-bye.
Love you. Bye-bye.